night, I sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Regarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Yes, Platoon May Holt, you may all be at ease right now because you have found Long Island's only automotive talk show. Today, a motorcycle talk show as well, Motormouth Radio, with your host, Ray Guarino. Co-host today, Christian Price from LI Racing.
Thank you, sir. What else do we say?
And
you kind of shocked me with the whole... Oh, sex god chant. Oh my god.
There's places we can't go, but there are places we can go. And I'll tell you.
Thank you for that.
No worries at all. Let's inform the folks, the good folks out there, that you can get in. You can call us at 516-572-7440. Talk to us about cars, motorcycles, machining, thorium. You want to talk about, you name it. I mean, we got it going on today.
I tapped my tree this morning, so I started my maple.
Tapping, a keg of beer, that's okay.
After the weather this past weekend, though, I drilled a hole, and unfortunately,
Right. Nothing
came out yet.
So. Oh, now we're talking about sap from pine trees, right?
Still a little too cold, so the weather has been really off.
We're talking about, like, strong coffees. I mean, we got a lot going on.
Yeah, matter of fact, you look a little, you know, you look a little off today. What's up with
You're gonna scope me. You know, we don't have the video cameras rolling. Otherwise,
good, but there's something. You're very jazzed up for some reason.
Right?
What's going on over there?
I came
there?
In like you do. Get the mic
let me,
on.
Let me see that coffee. Let me see that coffee.
Go on. Check out my cup. It sounds like there may be. Yeah. Yeah. I think we got something going on in that coffee, huh?
So that's how you stay so young looking.
You found my secret. Oh, yeah. Let me just throw it all in there.
You never know.
People should also know you want to follow us. Of course, we're in a social media world. We are Motormouth Radio on Twitter, on Facebook, and on the web, and on Instagram, where Joe's favorite, which is real_Motormouth Radio. And that's where we post pictures and notifications about things that we're going to do and things that we've done out in the different shops and garages and alleys that we hang out in. And Christian, you post a lot as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
your stuff is legendary. Throw out your contact information right at the top of the hour here so people
You can find us at longislandracing.org. You could find us online, also on Instagram, Long Island Racing, and it's either LI Racing, or you could find me at Christian_
right.
At LI Racing.
Yeah, you ended up with a couple of...
you can like see all my madness.
Oh, your stuff is great.
It's a lot.
Well, you know, you put up a lot of machining stuff, which is fantastic for guys like me who like to see really how things get done, the nuts and bolts and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I like to share the reality, you know.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, if I take a minute, I'd like to dedicate my time on this show today to the late Bobby Swerz. Bobby was a mechanic that I worked with at Orient Express,
right?
Who I worked alongside with for many years. Bobby was also known as Crazy Bob or Karate Bob because he was a black belt.
Right.
Bobby started in the industry in the late 60s working for Meadowbrook Sales. He started in the industry with no tools. Wow. Basically, he would take tools and the toolkits from all the bikes he was building, which Meadowbrook Sales was the first charter Kawasaki dealership on Long Island. And with that said, Bobby started racing. And because they sold Mako and Osa and other, like Yamaha.
Yeah.
Historically on Long Island, Bobby was the 1972 Long Island Motocross champion.
Wow.
And he also raced at Bridgehampton and stuff like that. And he was just a real unique guy to work with. And I would just like to let that be known that, you know, I really appreciated a lot of stuff I learned from the hard knocks with him in the industry.
You know, that's the thing, Christian. Not everybody does it. You do. I do. I know some other people who do, which is great. We kind of, you know, realize where we came from and celebrate that. Because, you know, if it wasn't for these people in our lives, I just hooked up with, I connected with the guy who taught me how to drum. And I'm talking about 50 years ago. And I just reestablished with him after 50 years last weekend. And the way I did it was I sent him a message and told him, I said, listen, just want to let you know, because you don't know, you're one of the five most influential people in my life. Mm. And now if that doesn't make somebody want to ask how and why.
Yeah.
Well, it did. So we had a lengthy phone conversation. And now we've reestablished because he shaped my early music career, which is still what I follow. I mean, he ain't listening to this stuff, but I mean, the other side of my music career, you know, the jazz and, and like, the, you know, the really good stuff. So, and you realize in retrospect, as we get older, that, we have people in our lives.
Yeah.
Hopefully, unfortunately, though, for a lot of people, it's not their parents. You know, a lot of people we know, you had a dad that you were very close with who did shape you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He, my father brought me around things that probably most
probably kids shouldn't have.
Yeah, but my dad was, you know, my dad was really good because my dad would basically, I could even go back to when Mel Bernstein was here on the island still.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
When the Dragon Man was still here.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was painting a lot of bikes for people in our garage.
Right.
And when I was 5 years old, I remember being out in the garage, and the Dragon bike was in the garage, and my dad and Louis Pinto were painting it, and I remember them airbrushing, and they were taking, like, a business card, and they would make, like, the scales, and they would airbrush the scales on the tail. But before that, I was, you know, as a kid, I remember picking the sandpaper up off the floor and sanding the Bondo, because that's what Daddy did, you know, and I was like, here I am. I'm like, this most prolific motorcycle I've ever been known, and Nathan's and all these things on Long Island.
And but who knew?
If you see where Mel Bernstein is at right now.
Oh, yeah, he's in a great place now.
if anyone follows him on Facebook or on Instagram, and you can find him at Dragon Man Co. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, just put in Mel Bernstein, Colorado. You'll find him.
His museum, the hot rods. He still has that bike.
Right.
He's still rebuilding Harley motors, you know.
Right.
He still does a lot of Harley motors, but his thing is he won't touch anything 1999 and newer because it's just a whole other platform for those motors. But
right.
His shop is set up like I would dream to have it set up that way.
You know,
I have a couple of honing. I got boring bars, honing machines. I got lasers. You know, I got all the full machine shop like he does. But his is set up so that it's like each machine does one job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's more of a production. And he just could crank it out.
That's nice because you don't have to change the setup.
Yeah,
everything's
set
dedicated
up for,
machines.
You know, what I mean, if I had the space, but that's what happens. See, on Long Island, your space is very valuable for, you know, and it costs a lot. And he's got a ton of space.
Yeah.
You could have seven bridge ports, one for
put
each job.
Put another building up,
No, that's how they roll out there. So it's very difficult to have a business here on Long Island and to keep this energy going of building and engine building in the high-performance world because it's very tough with an area where we don't really have the racetrack.
Yeah.
To be able to, you know,
that's very true.
Get that demographic out there.
You're right. The racetracks support those small machine shops, and without them, you know, one goes without the other.
A big part of my stuff is out of state.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, we always had a lot of bike shops on Long Island too. There was always
I've seen them come and go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I worked for a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I worked in Belmore for Doorbecker.
Oh, sure.
Custom Cycle. I mean, that was. A ton of people went through that, some of which have gone to do higher end jobs and stuff like that. But
where else could you, where else could you work where you could figure out that welding could make the phone ring? That story is classic.
Yeah. All right. So the listeners understand is one day we were in the shop and I had to weld something and it was aluminum and we had this big old Miller TIG that was basically in the back room. And I had a set of Sportsters. The Sportsters used to crack the cases right up by the starter.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to weld a crack up. I had a motor, you know. So I get this thing back there. I set it up. And there was so many impurities in the aluminum that usually you got to really throw a lot of amperage at it to kind of cook everything out.
Yeah.
So I had this thing set wide open, and I'm laying into this pedal, and I'm burying this thing, the tungsten in there, trying to get all the stuff burnt out of there. And I hit and I floor it, and I probably put about, I don't know, probably about 350, 400 amps through this thing, where in the cathode of the back of I guess it gave off some sort of a field. And because the New York telephone box was right above that welder, mm-hmm. would literally make the connection to make the phones ring in the building. When I discovered that, I said, ooh, I know what I'm going to do. So every time I would look, I could see through the welding room, and I could see Al up in the back there in the office, and I'd be like, hey, watch this, you know. And I'd make the phones ring, and he would answer the phone, hello. You know, he had two lines, but he had one for the chroming and one for the shop itself.
Yeah.
It was just fun.
Oh, that's great.
You know, but probably not good. You know, here I am, I'm playing around with radioactive materials and all
stuff.
So what's the difference?
Yeah. But that's great. I mean, that's something, there's a story that just transcends, you know, that's just
Well, that shop itself was pretty, you know, there was a lot of stuff that went through that shop.
And right.
There's a lot of,
oh yeah,
a lot of history in there, and unfortunately that place burned down.
Mm-hmm,
But I was already working for Orient Express, which is another shop that was very historical.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
I hit a threshold in life where I decided, like, all right, I'm done with choppers and Harleys and all this stuff. And I said, you know, I can do this. You know, I grew up around it and everything. But I wanted to expand into the racing world.
Uh-huh.
And I always liked drag racing, obviously. You know, I spent a lot of time at the drag strip and all that stuff. And especially being around bikes and stuff, I really took a liking to seeing, like, even when I was a kid, we would go down Sunrise Highway and I see Orient Express right on the road, and I always looked in that front window.
Uh-huh.
And if you saw some wheelie bars, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, what I see is a flashy light. So let's do this. Let's push the buttons and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
So how lucky are we to have Christian on the airwaves tonight?
We are very lucky. And who are we speaking with?
This is Rob from Rockville Center.
Oh, hey, Rob.
Oh, what's up?
What's going on?
So your guest shot is a former Motor Mouth recipient of Person of the Year.
Exactly.
Yes.
That went out in Christian's Twitter post yesterday. He did mention that. That's correct.
I think I got all of 11 likes.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's 10 more than I've ever gotten.
I appreciate the... I really appreciate it. Even though I didn't really get that golden thing, you know, the trophy or anything, just the thought.
Yeah,
that,
but your trophy is in our hearts, Christian.
That means everything to me. That means I made a difference in this world.
Yeah.
At least in this part of the South Shore.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Because nobody's listening. You know,
yeah. Right.
You know, you go to somebody's shop where it's automotive or a bike, and they get a square deal.
That
goes a long way.
In this day and age, it does.
Nobody wants to get Jimmy jammed, you know?
No. There's too much of
that. So Christian, eastbound on Sunrise from Bayview to Brookside. And what was your fastest speed there when you were working on the shops over in Freightport?
I'm not really going to...
That was the test bed. You're right. You got it. Yeah. You nailed it.
Okay, so, all right. My
and there was some kind of infamous things that happened in that stretch.
I'm not a criminal.
No.
Okay.
But I'm
guilty.
Not proven as convicted. No. We'll put it that way.
My test bed was, and I learned this from the guy who I dedicated my time to, Bobby Swears, is that we used to basically do most of our runs on the Meadowbrook.
Yeah. Okay.
Because of what happened back in the day, I'm not really going to go into that. But there was Sunrise Highway was pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say that. You know, there's been some times. I know I've put my life on the line quite a bit. As soon as I put that helmet on, I threw a leg over a brand-new motorcycle I just built, and I went down there. But I tell you what, I got on that Meadowbrook, boy. It was on. And I have had ridden some motorcycles probably. I would say I've hit speeds almost 160 easy, you know. And it's quite a thrill. But you know what happened was is after the Meadowbrook, they started to make some changes. They used to have that when you used to go right south of Merrick Road. They had a couple of little bumps in the road.
Yeah,
and I would get the bikes airborne, you know, and it would be like wow.
Oh hell yeah!
And after that, man, it was on to the turnaround.
Yeah,
and that was our run, you know, and make sure everything was good, and you know, because we were that was our butt dyno for a while, you know, so we put a jet kit in a bike, you know, and put a pipe on it and stuff, and you had to test it out. And
the Merrick Road ramp from Freeport South on the Meadowbrook is
the hoopty-doos. What's it called?
It's still a good run, you know.
Well, I tell you, I used to be on the Ocean Parkway, and I'd be doing like 140, and like all of a sudden a crosswind would come, and it would blow you two lanes over, and it was like, oh man, you know.
We used to call those hoopty-doos doing the cloverleaf because you'd go on and off and on, and that would be a great test of your cornering skills, cornering and braking skills.
A lot of people have to understand, though, like we were doing a lot of suspension work, a lot of engine work, and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously if we had a place that we could properly test out, I really can't condone such a thing. But, you know, hey, that's what we had to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cliff calls it the butt dyno.
There were a lot of good shops over in Freeport there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you had your day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, back then.
So, Christian, my question to you is, other than I'm going to leave you on this, I want to thank you for your years of information and texting to the radio station.
Yes, it's fun. I like sharing it. I really do.
My question to you is this. You speak so well of your dad. What was his favorite car build? What did he build that you and he did together?
That would be our 32 Ford that we have to this day still. That's a family.
Okay, how was that powered?
Small block Chevy, actually, but it originally had a big block in it. That cars had been through 10 different colors and 5 different motors and so forth and stuff. He bought that car out in California in 1968, drove out with Dick Sell from Sell's Auto Body.
Holy cow, yeah.
Which I ran into Dick Sell the other day, and actually Dick was asking me, he's like, hey, get your father together, we got Dick another road trip. I'm like, oh, here we go, you know, but they grew up together and all that stuff. I'm going to have to say prior to that would be my dad's 33 Chevy Coupe. I think that I wasn't even born yet, but I think that was his favorite.
Yeah.
Had a Buick in it. And I think that was his favorite. And then he had a 56 Chevy he used to race here on the island. That was one of his favorites. But he built a lot of cars. But the yellow pickup, I can keep going.
I know. All right, well, Bob,
we're going to run on that because
we're going to take a break. And then we have Uncle Tony calling us from Uncle Tony's Garage.
And thank you so
much. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Stay tuned. All right, we're going to take a quick break, Christian, because we're going to come back with Uncle Tony. That's who's trying to get through. We're going to get him back in a minute. Don't forget to listen to Lyrics to Go Fridays at midnight. Explore the creativity of hip-hop music with DJ Solero. And we also have Clay Kuhn from Kuhn Trucking and the boys down in Mississippi listening to us today. So for them, because they work on those big Paccar trucks, those big beasts, Christian.
I see where you're going. Okay.
That's a little more Sea Monster.
Thank you.
On 90.3 WHPC.
All the great music has already been written. Think again.
Hi, I'm Kim Tracy, and I will prove to you that great new music is still being produced today. Join me on High Fidelity every Sunday at 9 a.m. for a mix of music with a focus on new music and lesser-known artists exclusively on the voice of Nassau Community College worldwide on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, nccradio.org, and always on 90.3 WHPC.
We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said the motor mouth thing.
Yes, we are Jive Talking on 90.3 WHPC. And that is Chris Switzer on cowbell, by the way. Don't let yourselves be fooled. Live read, and he plays cowbell, too. So this man is a talent.
Not at the same time.
Boy, you never said that in 12 years of doing a show with me.
No, but I have said this. 516-572-7440. Pick up the phone. Call us. For crying out loud.
That is true.
Come on. Standing here talking to Ray.
I know. Oh, we have to maybe edit this a little bit because this is Sea Monster after all. But anyway, but the music is good. We better leave that right where it is. Okay, we're gonna have
You can hit me up on Instagram if you want to get further into Sea Monster history. I'd be glad to share that with you.
Absolutely.
I spent a lot of time with that crew. I grew up with these guys, and I tell you what, I remember when Barney was still around in those days, and You know, my first Sea Monster, my first Sea Monster show I went to was in what was it? In Wantagh, Timmy on the Bar.
Okay.
Oh my God, Scandals.
Got it.
Oh boy, what a night! What a night!
All right, well, we're gonna have another night here. We're gonna go to the phones and go to the funds and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Uncle Tony, what's happening?
Tony, how you doing?
Just living the dream, man.
You are on with Ray, and we have Christian in the studio today, our good friend from Long Island Racing, and. I just want to say, you know, it's been a little while since we had you on, so we want to catch up again. We'll follow your YouTube channel and love it. But you did something the other day that really piqued my interest. You were talking about Project Bottle Rocket and lifter failure, and I've had that lifter failure on a brand new set of lifters. So I said, listen, let's talk.
Ironically enough, I'm here with Lamb Chop right now, and we're working on Project Bottle Rocket.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful.
We just made a custom power bulge hood with a hammer. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Give everybody an overview. For the listeners who may not know yet, tell everybody what Project Bottle Rocket is.
It's a 1972 Coronet, mm-hmm. 318.
I thought it was a Coronet, yeah.
Yeah, four-door car that we intercepted on the way to the scrapyard. Mm. And we decided we're gonna get a 10-second ET out of this thing. Keeping it all steel. Full interior, well, you know, kind of, it's the illusion of a full interior, and keeping the 318. So, we converted it to 4-speed. It's got a 410 gear in it. We went through the motor. It's all home ported and stuff like that. And, it's got a 300 horse nitrous.
So I might have friends at Nitrous Express. Oh, and actually, I might have a race set up for this.
What kind of, match race?
Yeah, I have a friend that's building a 4-door car, Chevy.
Cool.
A Pontiac. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Let's set this up.
Well, I mean, you know, bring it.
Yeah. We're gonna come there. You coming up here? What's going on?
Yeah. I need a Dover.
How much you want to go for?
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to see where he's at. I think he's right in that bracket, though. I think it would be a good setup. It's a 4-door car versus 4-door car. I think this is the way it should be. I mean, really.
Cool.
You know, bring it.
Yeah. It's a neat car. I own a bunch of cars, and this one has become like my favorite because it's like, I was just telling Lamb Chop like 10 minutes ago when I'm clearancing the hood, you know, with the hammer. I'm like, I'm 17 again. You know what I mean? It's like you're perpetually 17 when you're working on these cars.
I did that. We were stuffing a 302 in my friend's Falcon one time when we couldn't get the motor in. We were like on top of the motor trying to get it to wedge between the towers.
Yeah.
Those are good old days.
So, Tony, you detailed how you had a lifter failure with the first set and a second lifter failure. Those were sealed power parts, correct?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so just to recap what happened with all of this. I'm building engines now for over 40 years.
Right.
And I've done it literally. And I said it in the video. I've done an uncountable number of Kim lifter. I mean, it's just like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of them over the years.
But how many years back were... Like,
oh, back
40
when
years,
parts were good, yeah.
And now we're coming into your, you know, a newer age, right? So there's going to be a time where you're noticing that things have changed.
And I also have to interject. I wonder, your last video, you gave a very, very clear and concise message to the people who leave comments. Like, do not ask this. Do not do this. This is what I did. You were so clear. A moron could understand. What do you think the chances are that that's going to work?
Slim to none. I had plenty.
You still have a New York attitude. I love it.
Yep. It's in there. You can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
All right, so the lifter thing, right? Yep. I just want that your listeners know, like, I'm no stranger to this. And it goes back to, like, you go back to, like, the 1970s, 1980s, right? And we used to swap around cams and lifters. You know, never even thought about it. Break-in period, what the hell is that?
The lifters used to fall in the driveway and pick them up with dirt on it, throw them in there for crying out loud. That's how
we exactly.
You know, I mean, come on.
Exactly. So with that said, earlier last year, I had put a car together for a customer. It was a 273 Dart. Mm-hmm. Which actually I own now. I love this car. But anyway, I put it together for a customer, and he brings me a white box camshaft, right? And a set of lifters that matched it. And I put it in, and like I said, 40 years of doing this, I never had any type of lifter failure, okay? So I put this thing together. After about 2 or 3 hours, it starts to tick. I'm road testing the car, and it absolutely eats one of the lobes.
Yeah.
So I pull it apart. So I took this personally. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's like
yeah.
Right? So I pull it apart, and it ate four lobes next to each other on the camshaft, like just randomly in the middle of the camshaft. And we did a video on this. And it was obvious that that cam had a bad heat treat.
Right.
You know? So I says, all right, well, fine. That's, you know, fast forward a couple of months later. We're putting the engine together for Bottle Rocket. Buy a cam from a reputable manufacturer, known aftermarket manufacturer. And then I grab a set of sealed power lifters because I get a deal on them at the local auto parts store. Mm. So I throw it together, and during the break-in, three of the lifters collapse and it eats the camshaft.
Yeah.
And when I say they collapsed first, and then they started dishing, right?
Right.
So this is two in a year after never having a problem like this before. Right. All right, fine. This has got to be just a bad fluke. I get yet another cam, the same cam, the same manufacturer. I know it wasn't the cam's fault. And I had warrantied the lifters. So I get another set of sealed power lifters. I throw it in there, and sure, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure enough.
There it is. Right, sure enough, it eats a lifter.
Right.
Now, so that's when I did that video.
So yeah. that you get a lot of people that'll chime in with, oh, it's this, it's the oil, and blah, blah, blah. But no one really gives any fact that maybe quality control on this stuff
well,
is kind of
that's
falling
it.
Off the...
See, Tony kind of dispelled that. Now, Tony, got to realize Christian is an engine builder. He's a very, very good engine builder.
About 35 years of building all types of motors. Yeah. Flat tap it, hydraulic, everything.
We've all been involved with this for a long time and never have seen that. Now, in your last video, you kind of talked about, it was almost like an economy of scales thing where you talked about, you know, bad money pushing out good money. Now you're talking about bad parts pushing out good parts. And I thought that was I didn't expect that from you.
That's Gresham's law.
Okay.
You know, where bad money pushes out good money. And it really applies to any commodity. You know, money is a commodity. That's all it is. And parts are a commodity. So that's exactly what it is. It's just Gresham's law in action. It's these bad parts pushing out the good parts.
Right.
You know, and it's gotten to the point now it's completely epidemic. The last two videos that I did, each one, the first one with the lifter, got over 1,000 comments in the first 6 hours. But the thing that freaked me out about it was, this happened to me. This happened to my buddy. This, I went through two cams. I went through three cams. I went through four cams. You couldn't believe it. And then I got guys writing in that are locomotive. I had two guys that worked on locomotives right in.
Yeah.
Right? They have the same problem.
Yeah.
Then I get aircraft mechanics.
These are guys that got pistons that are like garbage pails.
I know.
And you know, it's a motor that might only rev. It might only rev to 300 RPM.
Yeah, right.
It's not just internal engine parts. It's like everything. It's like pumps. It's just fittings. You know what I mean? Like. You know, if I was conspiracy minded, right?
No. I don't have tinfoil here, so we're sorry.
He's saying that very tongue in cheek, Christian. You got to know Tony.
I know.
Go on.
No, I'm serious. If I was conspiracy minded, I would say, you know, it's almost like this is being done deliberately because it's across the board. It's everything.
You can't
buy bolts.
They don't want old cars on the road.
There's so much to talk about. You found this problem with the brake hardware and wheel cylinder on your Dart, which is unbelievable.
Then you went,
I know, which is kind of crazy, creepy, weird, but then you went into hardware and you were, you know, you're saying you bought some drill rod and that failed. And like we all hoard a bunch of stuff, not just the Mopar guys. We do too. And we all have tons of stuff. And I go to my old stash all the time. We only have an hour show, but the thing I want to throw out there is, the plan for the future. Okay, today, how many more engines am I going to build? How many more cars am I going to build? It's not going to be a lot. But now, what am I going to do with all that stuff? I got to pass it on to somebody. I'm going to give it to people, you know, who are younger than me who can use it. I think that's the only thing to do.
I see these things as actually becoming a valuable commodity.
If we live long enough.
Now.
Yeah, like, I guess. I don't know if it's... I don't know if people are that... onto it as you are and as we are.
Well, then that hands on with it like we are. And for those who are, get it.
I didn't think so either until I did those videos. And then I got all of those responses.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, okay, I'm just having a couple of bad experiences. And you know what? It's not limited to that. There were things, my autism kicks in and I just completely block stuff out.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, I needed to clean up an engine. So I just a regular hone, right? Like a blade breaker type of hone, 3-inch stones. So I says, all right, let me go grab a set of stones, right? So I ran over to a regular auto parts store and grabbed a set off the shelf. I got through one cylinder. I actually didn't even finish the one cylinder. They disintegrated.
Wow.
They disintegrate. I mean, I've been holding engines, 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
I'm part of the Million Stroke Club.
Right,
you know you know, the one thing, Tony, that I do, and because I have a machine shop, and what I do is I find myself going to these old facilities that take in old machine shops that are closing up, and I pick through their pile of tooling.
Yeah.
And I go for the older cutters, the older stones, old sun and stuff that I've is everything that I've practically picked.
Yeah.
And I refuse to buy newer stuff for that reason, like he's saying. It's just not, the quality's not there.
All right.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But this was like, this isn't like fancy machine work.
No,
this is like,
I know.
I just need to give this thing a quickie hone.
Yeah. Like a little lily hone with the stones that are glued to it.
Yeah.
The lily hone.
Tony, let me ask you. Let me keep you on the line for a minute. We got to take a quick break just to reestablish.
Sure.
And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about this more. We got a barbecue we got to go to. So we're going to, we're just going to intersperse that because Clay is down here in Mississippi.
I know where we're going.
He's at the Cracker Barrel, but we're going to Phil's, I think.
And God.
We'll be back
today.
In a minute. Tony, you hang on the line. We'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio on 90.3 WHPC.
Think about Italy. What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Pizza?
No, not pizza. Ninja Turtles?
Ninja Turtles?
You know, Leonardo, Michelangelo, Raphael, Mario Brothers.
Mario Brothers? No! Rita Monte and Profumi di Italia comes to mind.
Their beautiful music, interviews, poetry, and lots more. Who's at the door?
The pizza guy.
The pizza guy?
All this talk of Italy got me in the mood for pizza.
Maybe the pizza guy wants to listen to Profumi di Italia every Thursday at 5 p.m.
Listen on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. And streaming on the iHeartRadio app.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motor Mouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk every single weekend.
All right, we're back. Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarito, Christian Price from Long Island Racing, 516-572-7440. Don't call us now because we got Uncle Tony on the line.
Hey.
Where do we leave off, Tony? We were talking about honing, I believe, but...
We were talking about honing, but the other thing I wanted to talk about is tools. Like Christian was bringing up, tooling and whatnot.
Right.
But just to take things down to, he's got a machine shop.
Mm-hmm.
So just to take things down to, the level of the guy who's just screwing around with the stuff, his own car at home.
Yeah.
I almost bled out. This is going back about a year and a half ago. If you look at my videos, you see I got a bunch of scars on my right arm.
Yes,
and
noticed that.
That was from one of those cutoff discs that exploded on me.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Like out of the blue.
Yep.
And this thing cut me from my thumb all the way up my arm. It cut my lip in half. It cut my nose in half.
Jeez.
This thing just came apart out of the blue.
So much for a modeling career, huh? So much for that modeling career? Yeah.
So it's like everything is out to get you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Everything is out to get you today.
Excellent. You're right. And
sorry,
I've had those things explode. When I worked in a machine shop, I put a 12-inch cutoff wheel we used to use on the grinder. And my boss came in one day and he says to me, I was actually doing a surface grinding operation with a diamond wheel. And he said, "Listen, Junior," he always called me Junior. He says, "How many fiber wheels have you blown up on this thing? And I'm like, oh, geez, I don't know, 100. So, yeah, he goes, we blow them up all the time. You wear a face thing. He's like, you don't really get hurt too bad. It's no big deal. The shrapnel is blah, blah. He goes, but if you blow up one of these grinding wheels, if I catch you grinding too deep or too fast, when this blows, he goes, I'm not going to be talking to you because you're going to be, like, yeah, dead.
And it's high speed. So,
I guess I was lucky.
Just so people get the gist of, like, you know, I sit at a bridge port either if I'm knifing a crank or undercutting transmission gears. I'm cutting... with carbides, with gears or a crank, and you know some of the Rockwell is either 52 to 60 Rockwell, and I tell you, when stuff starts breaking, you got to watch out. But I get splinters all the time, and what I do is when I get a metal splinter from a transmission, like I'm cutting the gears, I use a emery paper and it pulls the splinters right out. And I learned that from Bob Miragulo at Oceanside. He taught me that. Yeah, no tweezers.
The worst is brass.
Your brass.
Because it has those barbs.
And it's not magnetic and it barbs. But I deal with a lot of little chips of steel. And, you know, this is all manual machining. I mean, we do have a CNC in our shop now. We are branching into the CNC world. We have another one coming so we could just do stainless, which is a whole other machine that could handle that. And, you know, as other things that people see, we got going on. But, you know, we're still down to the manual machine. I'm going to tell you, when you're knifing a crank, a lot of metal flying around.
So, Tony, what do you see? Like, I want to get back to that thread about going forward to the future with our stash, because you got a ton of stuff, and we do as well. And let's say you say, you know, you can't sell it all off. Do you have a plan? Are you thinking about that? Are you formulating something?
No, I mean, I'm still building cars. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't want to be. Yeah, I'm not saying like we're all going to go now. I'm just thinking about for the future. Because
you have to plan for that. I've been planning for that.
Yeah, when I say the future, I mean, I tell my kids how the last 10 and then 20 years, when you can click off 20 years of your life like that and say, oh, yeah, that was like 30 years ago. You know, the future's coming fast.
I've been trying to streamline the business. And obviously, I don't even own a business anymore. I kind of got out of that in that aspect because I just want to work. I'm better off working. But even with down to the machinery, like, you know, who do you give a 2,000-pound machine to? And I have two of them, you know. And you got to consider that as you retire out, you know. What do you do with all this tooling? Because some of the stuff, it just gets scrapped.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much stuff I see in those picking piles I go through. It's just going to get scrapped.
Mm.
Or sold to China to make those lifters out of getting mason on you.
I think people are becoming aware because they're all getting burned. Everybody's getting burned.
Of course
I think people are becoming more aware.
They're done with it.
What the value of this old stuff is.
Right.
No. It's in you know. We could do a whole show about this. It's just insane.
But, you know, like you said, Tony, you put brakes in your car and you buy wheel cylinders, Wagner wheel cylinders off the shelf, and then they end up failing. It's like, geez, you know, what's the world coming to?
Well, here's a good thing. Like, remember that movie Tommy Boy?
Yeah.
And Callahan Motor, and, you know, and they're trying to buy him out. And he's like, you know, and they wanted to put their quality stuff out there. And that movie, that's kind of epic for that reason. Like, people should look at that and be like, hey, you know what?
That's right.
Back in the USA, pal.
Yeah.
Quality.
I never saw that movie.
Oh, it's excellent. It's he drives a GTX, a convertible GTX.
Yeah, so that's right up your alley. What are you doing?
It's cool.
Get up.
I'm not really a movie guy. There were a couple of people in the comments of that video that said, Tommy Boy.
Check it out. It's worth the watch. It was from like the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s.
My absolute favorite. I'm a Mopar fan.
Mm-hmm.
I can't lie. My favorite was a 66 Coronet.
Yeah.
With the 426.
All right.
That was my dream.
Wedge or a hammer?
I had a dart. No, I was a slant six guy. I remember, 1985 or something like that. My dad had a dart. And it was making a lot of top end noise. And it had a 225 in it, actually. I think it was a deuce and a quarter slant six. And it was noisy.
Buick six.
No. I know.
It
was a 225. That's correct. 170 and 190.
But that's what we called the Electra.
Yeah, I know.
It was a deuce and a quarter.
And I remember it was really noisy, and I remember learning, you know, about the oiling system and the slant six, and my dad was like, hey, check this out. We went out in the street, parked out in the street, we pulled the valve cover off, we pulled the whole rocker shaft out.
Yeah.
And he was showing me, like, you see this? This is where the oil travels along the rocker arm. And the oil holes were clogged. So we sat there, and, you know, my dad being an auto body guy, of course, you know, big
thinners,
managed and lack of thinner, and we're soaking the rocker arms, you know, hanging out. Of course, there'd be a lot of alcohol flying around in that backyard. Those guys would drink all day, and then it was time to take the rocker arms out and start drilling the holes out. And then I was amazed because we bolted the rocker shaft back in, and he fires the motor up with no valve cover on it, and you just watch the oil slowly come up through. And on the top of the rocker arm, on those, it's like a three-piece rocker arm,
and the oil would come, and it's like an oil trough, and it would just work its way to the tip of the valve, and you just saw everything get quiet, and it was like, that was it.
As you're describing this, I'm actually playing with a Slant 6 rocker.
Yeah, see?
Beautiful, beautiful.
We got issues.
Yeah, that's great.
We got issues.
This is an all-inclusive show, Tony. We like to cover on all ends.
You probably got one on his keychain.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm actually, it's for an engine that we're building for the channel, and I'm just happy to be standing here, because the lamp shop's making noise on the other side of the shop, so I'm over here. I've got the Slant 6. As you're describing this, I'm playing with a rocker.
It's really great design, that engine. I mean, it didn't make any power. I had quite a few of them. I had my own Dart. I had a 73 Dart I went to high school with and everything. It was my first car, actually.
Nice.
So, but you know what, man? That's why I love these engines, right? Like, you know, it's like I did the, I lived nothing but Hemis for like, you know, and then the Top Fuel thing. I did Top Fuel cars for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? You know, screw all of that. This is where the fun is. It's like taking an agricultural, like it's just one step above a Briggs and Stratton. And if, you know, if you can get this, you know, if you get this thing to make, you know, 180 horsepower, it's like, damn.
You run,
this
is fun. You run fuel?
No.
You run an alcohol? What do you run? You run. Okay. As I say,
I ran Top Fuel cars. I used to tune Top Fuel cars.
Slant 6 car?
No. Yeah. Funny cars. Top Fuelers.
But.
We're talking different phases of his life here.
I remember there was only out of all the, it's the Nito class, the nostalgia class that ran in English Town. There was one dragster that had a Slant 6 in it.
That sounds familiar.
And it was yellow.
That sounds familiar.
That thing, and when that thing would come out, that exhaust note.
I mean, how big can you hog out a Slant 6 to? I mean, what's the match? You can't.
You really can't.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool. So what do you think? What's in the future for you, Tony? What's moving forward? Where are you going? Or are you just kind of like kicking through life, see what can falls in front of your feet?
Well, that's just it. You know, it's like, you know, we started the YouTube thing on a whim, and it took off like crazy. So now it's like my full-time gig. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I want a show on the cooking channel.
Okay.
Food Network.
Cool.
We could agree with that.
Yeah, we're
heads over here, trust me.
We cover that too. Oh, that's
awesome. As much as I experiment in the shop, I experiment in the kitchen. It's a sickness. It's an absolute sickness.
Gotta eat.
Even I make my own maple syrup, and I had the honeybees too.
We had crabs, eggs, Benedict this morning. Crab cake, eggs, Benedict for breakfast this morning.
Thomas Avery?
No, in my house. Oh, my wife made it. So I just sent Clay a picture because he's a Cracker Barrel making me jealous. So
up in New Paltz, there's a Main Street Bistro, has a crab cake on a muffin with a scrambled egg with andouille sausage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, you see? Oh, yeah, he's got a picture of it. Oh, we're food heads. Oh, we're bad.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not the only one.
No. Maybe it's a New York thing. I don't know. Maybe it's a regional.
It's a shop thing. Because when you're in a shop, you don't want to talk about 40,000s and honing and clearances and all this stuff. You're like, hey, man, what'd you make last night?
Right.
Oh, man,
we do that at the shop. We talk about food all the time.
Man, I smoked these ribs in 40 weight for like 5 hours, man.
Right.
Oh, try to say yeah, it's.
So I guess that seals it. I start a new channel tomorrow, Cooking with Uncle Tony.
There we go.
I got some recipes for you. Don't worry.
Excellent. Well, Tony, if you ever want to throw us cross promote us out there, we'd appreciate it because we'll throw it your way as well.
You never know.
We love doing that stuff.
Never know what you would do on this show.
I know. So anyway, with this parts, we only got about a couple minutes. So we're gonna wrap. Well, with the parts thing, I don't know. You know, the lifters have failed on me with Edelbrock. It was an Edelbrock cam and lifters, and you know, if you can't trust Edelbrock, it's like Crane, you know? I mean, geez, it's, you know.
Well, now did you see the link I put to that guy, my vintage iron?
Yes.
Okay, so he seems to have found the answer, or at least with the Chevys, with the lifters. With the Delphi lifter with that small ring around the bottom of it, or the groove that's cut around the bottom of it, those things are sound. They seem to be okay. But all of these other lifters are made by some manufacturer out in, you know, wherever the hell it is, Bongo Squeegee. And now from what I understand, China is outsourcing a lot of the manufacturing down in Africa.
What, really?
And India.
In India.
I knew that. Yeah. All the motor mounts come from India. I bought motor mounts for a Pontiac, a freaking Pontiac, two motor mounts. I brought one home. I brought them home. One of them, I couldn't put I had the factory motor mount bolts with the tapered end. One bolt wouldn't go in. And then after finding out why, because the nut that they welded on was metric.
Oh, beautiful. And the other one, the other bolt wouldn't go in either because the nut was like, it was misshapen. I took them, put them back in the box, went back up to Colvin, said, take these back, give me a refund. And I actually bought a set of motor mounts off a guy's engine that I saw in his garage. He said, how much you want for those motor mounts? Oh, no, that's junk. I'm like, how much you want for them? $20. Give them to me. I put them on my
car. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. You just summed up the future.
Yep.
That is the future.
That's what we need to
do
right now.
We need to do something about it, but you know, it's that's going to take a lot of effort too. So
yeah.
I don't even know what to.
I don't know. It's huge.
You see, the thing is, in my shop and my business, a while back, we were trying to develop our own assembly lube for these reasons.
Oh, okay.
And we put a lot of effort into that, and you know. In the motorcycle world, we deal with a lot of flat tappet stuff too, but it's not like the car stuff is a little bit different. But you know,
right.
we've had our failures.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say as fast as you know, but then again, the motors I build go twice the RPM. So
yeah.
You know, when the failures happen, it's fast.
Yeah, it does happen fast. So. Yeah.
Well, you also deal with much lighter spring pressures and whatnot on that too.
Yeah. But even with the makeup, the metallurgy and stuff, there's still. I can tell you right now, in the motorcycle world, there's still not enough aftermarket. We still rely on a lot of OEM stuff.
Oh, okay.
And the quality of the OEM stuff is way better than the aftermarket, even though that there is a King bearing is actually going to start making plain bearings for the Suzukis and stuff like that, which is really key.
Okay.
Because as I'm building the older Hondas, I'm having a hard time getting the bearings and sourcing this stuff is becoming obsolete.
Yeah.
So,
what kind of motorcycles do you build?
Everything.
You name it.
You name it.
Tony, I've been in Christian's shop where he pulled an Ironhead sports store off the lift, then brought on a Ducati with a Desmodrotic valve train that he knows how to work on.
Yep.
Then a Panhead came in, and then like a 750 Honda. You name it, and it's in his shop.
I'm all over the place. And that's what happens. See, a lot of people understand what motorcycle it is. You got to specialize. And you got to specialize in everything and all of its engineering, because everything from a motorcycle gets over-engineered and from the car world, because they're like, yeah, but you know, look where it's gone. You know,
I did that. After I quit Top Fuel, right. I went and got into motorcycles. When I left New York, I had 28 motorcycles. And I was doing exactly the same thing. I was all over the map. I was street racing. I had a Suzuki and a TL 1000, which was a hot bike at the time.
Yeah.
And a 900 RR.
Mm-hmm.
I was street racing those, and I was building Ironhead Harleys because I always had to take Ironheads.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been down that road, too.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and the thing with the Harley market is there's a lot more aftermarket for those because, I mean, you could go into a...
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I started working on Harleys, I had to go in the basement through milk crates and pick through parts.
Now just get an S&S catalog. Good to go.
I wouldn't say, you know, there's definitely a lot of cheap stuff out there. I mean, that's why we have to be kind of cautious about what we're purchasing for jobs, especially when we're trying to do high-end, high-performance stuff. So, yeah.
All right. Tony, we're going to have to wrap. We got to take our last break and get out of here, but we thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Tony.
You're always welcome to call. I'll bust your shoes again, and I'll drop you a line in the future to get you on. Yeah,
just let me know when you want me on. I mean, I love talking to you guys.
Absolutely. We'll keep watching those videos.
We're going to set that race up. Don't worry.
And we'll work on that race, right.
We're down with it. We're flogging on this thing now. We're down to, like, pulling grams out of this car.
Oh.
Wait till you see this thing in action. This is going to blow some minds.
That's going to be cool.
That's what I like to see.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Nice talking to you.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
All right. So long. All righty. That was Tony DeFeo, Uncle Tony from Uncle Tony's Garage on YouTube. Check him out. Watch his channel. I mean, this guy does – it's grassroots.
Slant six guy. I know.
And I tell you what we're going to do. It's there was a famous movie about motorcycles that was that's always circulating around. We're going to go visit that. Not that exactly, but that theme right now on Motormouth Radio. Take our last break. Ray Guarino in with Christian. And you can give us a call back, 516-572-7440. When we get back on 90.3 WHPC. Fire up that hog, boys.
Ahoy, the stout oiling. My new chain got stretched out. It tore up my adjuster shoe and it slapped my case around. When first gear started clunking and adjusting would not mend, I knew my tranny leaked and fouled the clutch plates out again. Oh, just like he's a rider, I'll be coming to your town.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5 on Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Down the highway with my head up in the wind, when the bearings chew the axle shaft and I wobble home again. Oh, just like Easy Rider, I'll be coming to your town just to dump the clutch in the smoke. My
Yeah, we are just like Easy Rider, dumping the clutch, smoking the wheels, helping barmaids fix those broken stools.
Yeah.
And
kind of had a little mishap day, missed a shift, and he started with the world's smallest violin, which isn't too far off of working on Harleys because,
I know.
People are like, hey, I don't understand. Is it leaking? Why is it doing? Oh, here's the world's smallest violin.
It's leaking because it's a Harley.
But we went back to the phones to say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths. Who we got here?
This is Matt Mendez, the owner of LRE.
Oh, wow. He's called in.
Okay.
Look at that.
How's it going, Matt?
I made it around.
Yes. He was a little banged up yesterday himself. He was kind of shot. Ooh. But how you feeling
Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day has a heavy toll on me.
Yeah. So this is Matt Mendez. He's actually the owner of the shop now and a lunatic.
Okay.
But comes from
a raving lunatic.
He comes in my car. He comes from an engineering background, and he's been bringing in a whole nother level to the shop.
Excellent.
He comes from, and this is why I was in my plan of retiring out, as I want to pass down things. Matt's younger, so he's going to take on as we go in the motorcycle world and bring all this new, how would you say,
this new technology
that comes in with it. And I'll let Matt take over a little bit about the maybe the 3D printing and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've known Christian for years now, and it's funny because I actually used to be a client of his back when he had a shop in the Farmingdale. That was back when I was racing bikes and everything like that. And what I ended up getting to the point was I wanted to just build something for myself. You know, everybody loves working on the garage stuff, you know, working and wrenching on it. But there was something about it that it was like, I was a fabricator through and through. It wasn't like a desktop engineer, you know, so something had to be made. And then, you know, push comes to shove. And eventually you're just like, hey, you know, I'm going to need a shop.
Like I was saying, like we had to cut certain transmissions. And like when Matt came in and we were trying to figure out the whole round dog thing with the tranny, you know, and that's how like a lot of the stuff you see that we're doing. He was able to calculate the radiance and figure out the orbits to cut the gears. And this is where, you know, his brain works. And where I kind of step back and I go, all right, you're taking this over now, and you know, and
we'll have jobs come in like that. Yeah, it's great.
Matt, are you doing any of the social media stuff for the shop as well?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So between the two of us, like he runs the, he has his own personal one that he posts a lot of the stuff. You know, where he more traditionally on the bikes, and I'm posting more traditionally on like. You know, got what's it. Generally going on in the shop. So my, my responsibility is more over like the LI Racing official Instagram.
Which is
helpful too, because, you know, it helps kind of me keep a certain image too.
Sure.
But, it's a lot of work, obviously, because you want to try to balance out that, hey, listen, you know, we're not Lockheed Martin, but.
Right,
would love to have a shop like
we certainly
one.
Try to be.
Right, right. Hey,
you know, but we're trying to hit a demographic, which is we're trying to bring back a lot of the racers back to the shop, and we're encouraging this new realm of racing where guys are, you know, you're very limited what you could do with a lot of the motorcycles right now because they're already engineered to the point where what Matt's coming in right now is he's developing a lot of parts, a lot of internal parts and intake systems and stuff like that. And this is where the 3D printing comes in because we're trying to get airflow to work. We're making stuff that goes inside the air boxes. We're developing the air boxes. We're trying all different things. We're flow testing. We're dynoing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just trying to get every little bit, just like Tony said about taking grams off the coronet.
Exactly.
This is for the love of it.
Every little bit matters.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's
a
great
model.
You would
get a kick. You would get a kick out of seeing some of the designs and stuff that we have to work through with like velocity stacks. I've been doing a set right now for one of the newer Japanese bikes.
Yeah, we haven't released that yet because we're still in testing with it. But yeah, it's going to be pretty prolific for what we're doing. So,
when you're designing them, you know, it's just a lot of these organic shapes that we take for granted. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Think about trying to try to describe your hood on graph paper.
Yeah,
like try to describe shapes like curves and stuff like that on graph paper. It's very difficult.
Yes. Yeah, I remember when Edelbrock came out with the drop base air cleaner. I said that, and it works.
Here, I was telling Matt. I said, hey, you know, back in the day, K&Ed made the stub stack. Remember
the
that?
Stub stack? Sure.
The stub stack that went in the Holley carburetor.
Absolutely.
Sold for $50, and it gained 3% overall, and it sold.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of the same thing we're doing. Is basically we're making stub stacks for GSXR Suzukis and Hondas and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. But they look like they were grown out of a lab because that's kind of what they did.
Yeah,
they kind of came out of a pool of resin, Terminator style.
The resin printing and all that stuff is all him. I have no idea. I sit on a bridge port.
Make
chips. He's playing with stuff that is just, he's taking it to a whole nother level.
Right.
But you know what? It makes the day-to-day stuff really fun because, you know, at the end of the day, you got to love what you do. Mm-hmm. And it's always a nice allure where it's like, we'll work on all these different types of projects, whether it's like, you know, putting carbon fiber on a motorcycle or, hey, maybe I have to design something. Like, perfect example was an older BMW that was 10 years old. You know, I think it was like 2008. No, it was a 2006. Sorry. Mm-hmm. It's like this sports touring bike. They had a horrendous design for the kickstand. Absolutely horrendous design. And when it broke off the bike, it broke off at a cast aluminum tip of the frame. So once it's gone, it's gone. And it had the kickstand out of Ford steel, everything like that. Thing snaps off. Now you got no way of holding the thing on. BMW let the insurance company know, like, listen, total bikes.
Yep. They wouldn't even fix it.
Total a German bike.
Wow, yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So we actually got to work on one of those, and I ended up making an adapter that would bolt to the motor mounts on the bike.
Very
and
good.
Then it ended up being a figure, you know, it ended up being, you know, absolutely helpful that using printing and stuff, because the prints are clear.
The other thing that's unbelievable, Matt, is we're out of time. We got to go
because
Kim is coming in, so we got to get out of here.
Sorry about that. Yeah,
that's okay. It's all right. No, thanks for calling. And
how we roll here. It's all good.
Don't be a stranger, man. Call back whenever you like.
I'm going to wake up early next time.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
All righty. So long.
Got it.
Oh, that was good to hear from him. Now I know who the man behind all this stuff is. That's pretty cool.
He's a maniac, but he's really talented.
Yeah.
You know, and he was a customer of mine, and I said, you know what? We came from the same background going to Farmingdale College.
Okay.
We came out of the same classrooms.
Beautiful.
And I said to myself, this is what his dream is what I was trying to do in the 80s.
Right.
And make parts. That's what I want. I wanted to make high performance parts and stuff. And that's why
I'm,
you know, get him in. He's doing it. And that's it. We go from there. This is what we can do.
And we're going to do it again next week. We're going to come back. I'll have Chris Switzer with me again in his remote location. I don't know if we're going to – we got a few guests lined up. We have a few people in the works. Alana Scher wanted to drop in. We had a fellow from Haggerty that wanted to drop in. And Christian, you're always welcome to drop in on us. Whatever you want to come in, you got a spot. No problem.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
For now, stay tuned for Kim Tracy and Thunder Road, Best of Springsteen. And we're going to be out of here. Motormouth Radio. Christian, thanks for coming in again.
Thank you, Ray.
We'll see you next weekend. Like Chris says, don't follow us home. Bye.